Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday, March 29th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I'm so glad it's Friday.
I imagine you are. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
E-I-E-I-O.
And if anybody gets that as anything besides an old McDonald reference, congratulations. We look forward to your letters. I wanted to start out today by talking about the, we have a new wave of iPhone rumor, speculation, something. Andrew, you had written this up, about how the new iPhone now comes with a third camera, or is supposed to come with a third camera.
No, so, this was Charlotte writing it up.
Oh, Charlotte wrote it up. I'm sorry.
But this rumor has been going on for a while, so I just think it looks so gross. Like, it seriously looks like someone took an Apple Watch and welded it onto the back of the iPhone.
Well, all right, back up though. Describe it. What's going on here? What's the substance of the rumor?
So the rumor is that this year's iPhone will have three cameras, and there has been this like concept mock-up photo going around displaying this. Mm-hmm. And now this dude claims that there's this leak that shows the exact same thing. And I'm not accusing this guy of anything, but I thought I saw somewhere he was the one that was spreading this rumor. So it just seems kind of confirmation biasy to me. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
I can see that. Yeah.
Well, it's from at OnLeaks, who has a track record of actually being correct.
Which is kind of a bummer, yeah. Because I did see the mock-up, and I'm with Andrew on this one. I just think it looks weird. It doesn't look nice to me, so I'm not jazzed about it.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Everything will be fine. It's going to be released. It'll be fine. We'll get used to it. It's like the notch. It's like the buttonless thing. It's like, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a little bit different. It's, you know, it's going to be the assembly on the back is going to be bigger because mm-hmm. it's got another lens. So something's going to change. And if Apple put it in this configuration, they did so for a reason.
Right.
And furthermore, I'd like to add that this is the point in time, right? We've got the life cycle of Apple product leaks, and that life cycle starts there are simply too many millions of fingers and eyeballs involved in making both the iPhone itself and, you know, assembling it, and then also the parts for it, right? I mean, it is a giant international behemoth of an operation that's involved in this. And because that's why we get so many leaks, that's why Apple can't keep a secret on these kinds of things anymore, because there's just too many people involved. And my point is, whatever Apple is going to be shipping in September is locked down. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to make these things now. And this is the point in the life stage of these leaks where the things that we are seeing start being real, start being more than, you know, like a glint in Ming Chi Kuo's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That,
so
that was one of the things I was considering, was like, because they have to make so many in order for there to be any significant number by the time Apple announces them, then yeah, it checks out that they have to be starting to assemble some of that stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the case every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been the case for a long time, because, you know, iPhone sales are flattening, but that's beside the point. So, I put some, stock in this particular rumor, and whether or not it looks ugly, I proffer that it really looks simply different. It'll be fine.
I'm sure it will be.
I just think Johnny Ive is sobbing right now.
Because we found out too early, or because we're seeing something that's incomplete? Because maybe with the back on and everything, maybe it doesn't look quite like what we're seeing. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess my beef is that I've heard two different versions of this rumor.
Okay.
One rumor is that it would be three cameras in this triangle shape. And then the other rumor I heard was that there would just be this phone with the Face ID camera system would be both on the front and the back, which would completely eliminate the bump.
Oh.
And I guess I just prefer that one better.
Yeah, I think we'd probably all prefer it without any kind of a bump.
Yeah,
but you know, the bump to me has always seemed a product of Apple's obsession with thinness. It turns out that lenses need some space. Who knew, right? And I don't until there's some sort of radically different approach for capturing. I don't see how we can get it. I don't see how Apple can do away with the bump in its you know, obsessive quest for thinness.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about them being thin for a minute. Like, I honestly don't need a phone that's any thinner. And I thought actually it was a good move for the iPad Pros to come back to the square edge and be a little bit thick. And we didn't have to really talk about it all that much because it feels like a little nicer device to hold to me. So, Andrew, what do you think? Do you want a thinner phone next time than the one that you have now?
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with the thinness of this iPhone 7 Plus that I have, but I also love the design of the new iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. So, and that iPad Pro is actually thinner than all of the iPhones. So if they could like do both of those things, like keep it at that mm-hmm. thinness and have a new design, I think that'd be great.
Ooh. That would be nice. I'm just thinking back to when I used to carry around the square-sided phones and how nice that was. How about you, Brian? Do you need a thinner phone than whatever your phone is now?
No one has ever said, you know, those iPhones are pretty swell. I think I'd buy one if only it was a little thinner. No one has said that. No one has thought it. No one has done it.
No.
But, you know, but Apple gives us apparently what we need, not what we want.
Right.
We want we want more battery life, but what we get is thinner.
I want a phone that fits in my pocket, and I know that's never happening again. So, I'm very curious how this is going to shape up with regards to adding the extra lens to the phone, or you know, whatever it is that they're going to do for the next one. Generally, I don't care that much about rumors, but this year is a year that I might get a new phone. So if they're cool enough.
So now it's important to you, huh?
Well, if it looks interesting enough, like last year, it didn't matter what they were doing. It wasn't my turn for a phone, so it didn't matter. So
the world revolves around Kelly.
No, my world revolves around me. That's all. So
okay, fair enough.
Last year, I was only a little bit interested in what they were going to do because it seemed like the big leap was the release of the 10. The previous year. So this, you know, this last round of upgrades was just going to be revisions on the 10. So I was curious to see as a spectator, but not as somebody with a vested interest in what that phone's going to look like. So, and honestly, this year, if they continue to be that size and don't have anything else particularly interesting, I might just keep sticking with my 8 for another year. I still haven't, it's a long ways away yet. I have a lot of time to decide. So,
and it's still a perfectly fine device,
right? There's nothing wrong with, like, I've never had any complaints about it. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I got anything new and exciting with it. No, because I had a 6S before that. So all of the stuff that I have on my 8 is just, I got a way nicer camera. It felt like the 6S to the 8 camera was a really nice upgrade. Like, it's always a pretty good upgrade, but that seemed like a bigger upgrade than most. So I was excited about the camera. Which is usually the reason that I upgrade, is to get a better camera for low light photos.
I'm quoting Mac Rumors here. And Mac Rumors is citing Bloomberg. Apple is also working on a feature that would use the extra pixel data afforded by the 3 lenses to provide tools for automatically repairing a photo or a video to fit in a subject that, quote, may have accidentally been cut off from the initial shot, unquote.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you take a weird picture and this extra information will help fix it?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Okay. Well, as we find out more, we will definitely talk about it, I'm sure. And we'll see what happens with that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about today is something that Andrew actually happened to you Also happened to TMO's own Dave Hamilton. And that is, in being a good computer citizen, you've upgraded to Mojave, you know, once you figured out like it was going to be fine. And then, you know, continued to install system updates because system updates are important. They offer things that are better and they fix things. And in this case, the thing that the latest Mojave update fixed for you was all that pesky email you were getting, right?
Yeah, this was such a headache.
This has solved Andrew's problem of receiving email. Yes.
Yeah, so a bunch of other people have been having this problem too, where if you use Gmail in the Apple Mac or Apple Mail app mm-hmm. on the Mac, there's some authentication problem. And so Dave had found this solution where you manually do some things, but it didn't work for me on the Mac. And it did work for me on the iPhone, but not on the Mac, even though it's the exact same method. So I'm still trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So the issue, it sounds like what's happening, at least to some people, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, because this was actually happening to you, is that mail pops up and it says that you have to enter your password. And then it sends you over to Safari, where you enter your authentication information for your Gmail account or G Suite. So if you have an email address that doesn't end in gmail.com, but maybe it ends in something else because you're using Google Apps or Google Apps for Business or whatever, those are the same kinds of addresses that are having this same issue. So Apple Mail sends you over to a web page where you go and authenticate and do everything, but then the web page never completely authenticates you. So then you go back to mail and still nothing works. And then you sort of end up out of luck. So Andrew, what was it that fixed it for you?
So at least the solution Dave found was that, so you remove your Gmail account from iOS or macOS, wherever you're having the problem. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to enter a new mail account, don't tap on Google, just tap on the other button. Mm-hmm. And so what that happens, you'll manually enter some information like your email address, your username and password, and then you change the incoming and outgoing servers for the mail. Mm-hmm. So for this solution, you do, for the incoming server, you type in imap.googlemail.com, and then the outgoing server is SMTP. Mm-hmm. And that works.
.googlemail.com, right? Because if you put in Gmail, yeah, then mail, Apple Mac Mail, in all of its helpfulness, goes, "Oh, you're trying to use a Google account," and then you end up back where you started. So mm-hmm. you have to say that this is, you know, no other kind of account, and then go and put in your googlemail.com information in order to get it to sort of take it and set it up as new. So
yeah.
This is, for people who are curious, this is an update to 10.14.4 that broke this for people. That's what happened. And there's been a lot of support chatter about it. We have an article about it walking through, because actually, like you said, Andrew, it did happen to Dave, and I wrote this up so that we would at least have something we could refer people to if they were having this problem. And one of the other solutions that I want to point out, because I don't really use Mac Mail on my computer, is that you can also just not use Mac Mail. So if Apple Mail, Mac mm-hmm. Mail, if that doesn't really appeal to you, there are a lot of alternatives out there. And so for some people, that might be really helpful.
Later today, I will be writing an article about some alternatives to Mac Mail. So just visit our website for that.
Yeah, we can help you fix the one you have, or if you've decided that this is the straw that broke Apple Mail's back and you want to use something else, then it's pretty easy to switch for the most part. There are varying degrees of aggravation that go along with migrating out of Apple Mail, depending what your setup looks like. But if you're not using anything particularly custom, it's usually okay. Andrew, you're using Apple Mail. Are you using Apple's Mail app on your phone as well?
Yep.
Okay, so you're using that both places.
I That's what I'm doing right now. I have used other apps before, which I'll read about, like Spark and Airmail. Mm-hmm. And for personal mail, I also use Proton Mail. So there are a whole bunch of different options.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. Brian, how about you? Which mail apps are you using on your phone and on your computer?
Mail.
Mail both places. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I use Spark on my phone because I like it a lot, and I like the swipe actions that you can configure to have different, like a short swipe or a long swipe, do different things, and so it makes it really easy to triage everything pretty quick. So that's what I use. And then on my computer, I use a mail program called MailMate. I don't use Apple Mail. I use MailMate. I get a lot of mail, and with MailMate, it makes it really easy to do different things with it, whether it's something you have to print out for, or at least print a PDF for certain purposes, like tax reasons or whatever. You know, if you have receipts you have to print, things like that, it makes that really easy. And there's a lot of other automated stuff that can go into that. So, you know, putting labels on things, filing them how you need them, just to make sure that, particularly when you get a whole lot of email, it makes it really easy to keep all of that organized. So, nice. Yeah, it's so far both of those are have been useful for me anyway. I also like, and the thing about Spark that I like I said, mostly is the gestures. If you are part of an organization with other people, I know that Spark has some team features that are pretty interesting for people who collaborate on stuff a lot. Sometimes that can be helpful. So Spark is kind of interesting in that way. If you do collaboration with other people who all kind of have the same email address as you. So, yeah. And Andrew, are you doing an Apple Mail article? Or are you doing a Mac OS or an iOS article as well? Or just Apple or Mac OS? I mean, that was really badly phrased.
I'm just going to find apps that are on both platforms.
Okay.
I think that would be the easiest.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause some of them are a very different experience, you know, even just between Mac OS and iOS. So that can come out. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, Brian, are you on Mojave and did this happen to you? I'm not on Mojave, so I didn't actually run into this myself.
It happened to me yes, I am on Mojave. I did update and it has affected some of my accounts, but not all of them.
That's really odd.
Yeah, but in my main account, the account that goes through Gmail that I need is the one that works. So I haven't bothered messing with it.
Yeah, I guess if it's not an address you need to watch very closely, it's not like smacking me
up in the face. It's not like going, which, by the way, apparently is what it sounds like when someone smacks me in the face. It's not happening. No idea where that came from.
No, but now everybody's learned a whole bunch of stuff from the show today, including what it sounds like to smack Brian in the face.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
This is all really important information. We're really glad you're here with us in order to get all of the information available. What I can tell you about the support thread where somebody wrote this up is that it exploded, basically. At first, there were, I think, 25 or 30 people, and then within a couple of days, there was over 1,000 different posts replying to, like, I was on the phone with Apple Tech Support, and they told me to do this, and then I was on the phone with Apple Tech Support, and they told me to do the opposite of that, and, you know, it worked for both people or whatever. Like, I think it's going to take a little time for this to get nailed down as far as what's actually causing the issue.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating if you're trying to get email. So, you know, the easiest workaround is just open up a web page to gmail.com and log in there and look at your email. Like, if it's one that you have to monitor clearly, that's the fastest way to do it. You already have everything for that. You don't have to do anything extra. But aside from that, it sounds like there's a whole bunch of information out there about, like, this worked for me. And then, you know, somebody else says, I tried that and it still isn't getting me anywhere. And so it's
more importantly, when there's a fix, we'll cover it.
Yes. And that's mostly that's what it comes down to, is once we have some solid information that we can give you about actually fixing this, we can do that. In the short term, open a new browser tab or window or whatever you prefer, and log into Gmail that way. And at least you can see everything if you really need to. So that should be helpful. And yeah, as Brian said, once we have more information to give you, we actually will. All right. Thanks. Thanks so much for joining me today, Andrew. I'm glad you could come by.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks for coming by today.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. Have a wonderful Friday and a fantastic weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.